Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. And that way you can also be a part of the conversation and dialogue after our session. And whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. You will notice in the chat section there is a link to the Wisdom Wall. That's a place where you can share what's on your heart if you so choose. And what is wisdom? Why is it that we are here? Well, wisdom isn't knowing more, but it's really knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And so Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your senses, the deepest parts of you. Yes, indeed. Open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness in the heart. Today, we will encounter three brief wisdom contemplations on the topic, the way. And each of those contemplations will be followed by a minute of silence where you're invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. They are our watchwords, our signs for what we can do in the silence. To resonate, does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a single word or phrase that you hear. Reflect, an opportunity to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. In the silence, you can respond by journaling or prayer or even body movement. Or rest. Simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After those three reflections, we will close with a spiritual practice and a group dialogue. And our theme today is the way. So with an open heart, a calm, centered presence, and a gentle breath, let us begin. The gospel itself is so radical that if we truly believed its message, it would call into question all the assumptions we currently hold about the way we live, how we use our time, and how we relate. Everything we think and do would be called into question and viewed in a new way. And Jesus is giving us a message of simple humanity, vulnerability, and nonviolence that's really necessary for the survival of humanity. So we need to dedicate our lives to building bridges and paying the price in our bodies for this ministry of reconciliation. Reconcilers are normally crucified, and the whole world hates them because they are neither on one side nor the other. They build the vulnerable bridge in between. And all authentic spiritual teachers, their message is the same as their life. Their life is their message. And for Christians, for some reason, we want the person of Jesus as our God totem, but we really don't want his path and his message of descent. We do not want to see the cross as the pattern of life and a path for our own liberation. In a sense, we prefer heavenly transactions to our own transformation. And the only real ascent is descent. You may recall, but Jesus' initial preaching is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that word repent means to turn around, to change. It doesn't mean to beat ourselves up or feel bad about ourselves. So what we're really hearing in this first message from Jesus is change. Be willing to change. And people who aren't willing to change are not really willing to turn away from themselves. They're not usually in love with God. They're in love with their way of thinking, their way of explaining, their way of doing. And we simply buy into some kind of cheap conventionalism and call it tradition. Yet the great traditions always call people on a journey of faith to keep changing, to keep growing, to keep evolving. There's no other way the human personality can open up to all that God is asking of us and let go of the idols of yesterday and the idols of today. Jesus says quite simply, follow me. And disciples leave their nets and follow him. Jesus practically says, hey, I'm into something. Do you want to be part of it? Let's go. So may we realize that we are all called to discipleship the same way. May we let go of our nets, our security systems, whether they are our economic livelihood, our ideas, our group, our emotions, our opinions, our idols. It's a new vocation. It's a new vocation. So with these questions, let us resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. What is God asking us to do? Where is God asking us to go? Love is the path for us to follow. Love is the greatest commandment. It's the prime directive. Love for God, for self, for neighbor, for stranger, for alien, for outsider, for outcast, and even for enemy. Love decenters everything else. Love relativizes everything else. love takes priority over everything else. Everything. And one must not love oneself so much as to avoid getting involved in the risk of life that history demands of us, and that those who try to fend off the danger will lose their lives, while those who, out of love for Christ, give themselves to the service of others will live. Like the grain of wheat that dies. If it did not die, it would remain alone. And the harvest comes about only because it dies, allowing itself to be sacrificed into earth and destroyed. Only by undoing itself does it produce the harvest. And genuine lovers, they move deeply into the life and death dramas of this world, like a plant that sinks roots deep into fertile soil and there give themselves wholly to the flourishing of life. To withhold oneself from love is to withhold oneself from participating in a complete life. Love is the outbound movement that trains people to heal injustice, and to kindly embrace the world. And discipleship is following Jesus' path of self-emptying love. Everything he did by self-emptying. In whatever life circumstance, our Rabbi Jesus always responded with the same motion of self-emptying. Or to put it another way, of the same motion of descent, going lower, taking the lower place, not the higher. He called us to dying to self. Through radically squandering everything he had and was. He healed on the Sabbath. He kept company with women and disreputables, people at that time known to be impure. Boundaries meant nothing to him. He walked right through them. And what seemed disconcerting to nearly everybody was the messy, freewheeling largeness of his spirit. Abundance and a generosity bordering on extravagant seemed to be the signatures of both his teaching and his personal style. He seems not to count the cost. In fact, he specifically forbids counting the cost. Do not store up treasures on earth. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, with his betrayers and accusers massing at the gates, he struggled and anguished, but remained true to his course. Do not hoard, do not cling, not even to life. Let it go, let it be. It was love stored up, but love utterly poured out, that opened the gates to heaven on earth. Here we pause with this to resonate. Reflect, respond, and rest. In the scriptures, Jesus uses the terms way, truth, and life. He uses those terms to explain how he embodies a way of being in this world that is so close to the heart of God that God can be known in and through Jesus. Jesus reveals the heart of God. Keep in mind, way is not a technique or map. Truth is not about philosophy or dogma. And life is not about going to heaven. Thus, this way of Jesus is comprised of spiritual journeys. The interior one toward knowing our true self and knowing God. And the one directed outward into the world to enact God's justice and love. And these are the inner and outer journeys of contemplation and action. And this quest, it is a mapless journey. There is no single road. There are guides, and the only guides to it are nature, saints, poetry, song, and spirit. When you dare leave the map behind, Jesus emerges as the road itself and the light that guides. There's a journey you must take. It is a journey without destination. There is no map. Your soul will lead you, and you can take nothing with you. The way is not a destination. It is a movement enveloping the presence of love. And Jesus's totally counterintuitive message of the cross was sent to earth as a dramatic and divine zinger because God knew we would do everything we could to deny it, avoid it, soften it, or make it into a theory. In Jesus, we see a God who is going to the mat with humanity and not just presenting us with a heavenly cosmic vision. And if Christ is the source and goal, then Jesus is the path from that source toward the goal. Toward the goal of divine unity with all things. So remember that Jesus trusts descending religion. In descending religion, the primary language is unlearning, letting go, surrendering, serving others. It's not the popular notions of self-development, salvation, going to heaven, converting others rather than ourselves, or acquiring more health, wealth, and success in this world. Remember that opening sermon, those opening words, blessed are the poor in spirit. And a spirituality of descent frees us to surrender to God our often messy lives. Spirituality is about honoring the human journey, loving it, and living it in all its wonder and tragedy. Authentic spirituality is a life and death system that shows us how to give away our life, how to give away our love, and eventually how to give away our death. Basically, how to give away, and in doing so, connect with the world, with all other creatures, and with God. And with this, we take just a simple minute, knowing we need much more, to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Thank you, friends, for your presence during these three contemplations this evening and for opening to the presence and action of divine love in your life. This is the point in which we share our spiritual practice, and tonight I'd like to share with you actually a blessing. And it comes from a book written by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie, The Lives We Actually Have, 100 Blessings for Imperfect Days. And these authors, they offer compassionate encouragement for the times it cost us to follow the way of love. There is a very American story about bootstrapping and hard work that paints a picture of the possibilities of a world without pain or disappointment. If you just work harder, pray harder, try this elixir, follow this 5-step plan, you'll have the life you always wanted. But then there's the rest of us, plagued by our humanity, by systems that are too large for us to shoulder alone, by cells that duplicate without permission, by relationships that don't work out and church communities that disappoint us and mental health struggles that make getting out of bed just too hard some days. How is it that we can stay faithful when, no matter how hard we work or how much we pray, we are not exempt from suffering? Might there be room in our actual lives, the one freighted by our neediness for others and raw hopes for tomorrow? Might there be room in our actual lives for a blessing when everything seems to cost so much? So if you are feeling the cost of all your loves and all your hopes, this is a blessing for you. God, I thought I would feel different by now, but new pressures just keep mounting. I've been struggling for far too long to meet each new challenge, to scrape up resources, to find small comforts, to change strategies, to dig deep into our reserves, to stay positive. But I need relief and fresh hope, and a minute to just say, I really wish things were different. I really wish things were easier. And just when we thought we could almost be done with this, another shoe drops. There are no finish lines. We long for the joys, the simple joys of times past. Those everyday pleasures we can barely remember but still hunger for. A great night's sleep, less financial stress, the ease of making future plans, the wish that our faith would give us an exemption from all that is too painful. Blessed are we who look to you, God, in the midst of troubles that are too great for us, that have gone on far too long, who dare to say, now would be a good time for help to come, for this to be over once and for all. God, send us help. Bring solutions for the desperate. Protection for the vulnerable, comfort for the suffering, strength to the caregivers, wisdom to those in charge. Infuse us with the courage to suffer with hope, that our suffering doesn't go unnoticed by you. Sustain us and orient us to the reality in which we now live. Help us pace ourselves and keep us awake to what might be done right now. May it be so. May it be so. At this place in our evening is the time that we send well wishes to our podcast and YouTube listeners and remind them that they're always invited to join us live. We will be having a conversation right after this, and we would love to have you come and be part of that. And as always, I like to remind you that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome, be love, and we hope to see you soon.